Welcome to the St. John's Pod, a podcast for members of St. John's at Creighton, Omaha's Jesuit parish. I'm your host, Beth Kaufman. In this first season, we're learning about what it means to be a Jesuit parish and more about how to live as men and women for others. Today with the prayer Ignatius didn't write. Often incorrectly credited to Ignatius, this little prayer was first referenced in print in the late 1800s, and authorship is not clear. It's not even clear if it was originally written in French or in English, or if it was even intended to be Ignatian. But I still like it. Something, someone, somewhere, sometime saw something in it that was Ignatian, and I like the mystery of that. And I admit, the little cadence gets stuck in my head. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach me to be generous, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to toil and not seek for rest, to labor and not look for any reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening to our new endeavor. I want to say a few words about how we got here. So many in our Faith Formation Commission conversations come back to the same subject. We need new ways to reach out to our parishioners and offer faith formation that fits into our busy lives. As a destination parish, we know that many of us travel some distance to come to the parish, and we know that many of our parishioners have families and jobs that keep them busy all day. And we wanted to offer an avenue for connection to the parish and opportunities to learn and grow in our faith that don't mean traveling downtown. So here we are, trying something new. I sure hope you are able to fit this little podcast into your life and that you enjoy your time listening with us. Well, if you're listening, you're probably a member or connected in some way to our beautiful Jesuit parish, and these voices will be pretty familiar to you. Today we've got Sarah Schulte-Bukovinsky, our parish life director. Sarah is a Nebraska native. She grew up in beautiful farm country of central Nebraska, and she's been with St. John's for about 6.5 years. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me what a parish life director does?
That is a really rich question, and it has different answers in different places. I would say that title, parish life director, is becoming more common in some parts of the country, less so in others, and what it means is really location dependent to some degree. What it means for us is that I'm a lay pastoral minister, so I work with Father Matt in the care of, the stewardship of the parish community. That means I tend to all the dimensions of parish life on a day-to-day basis, and ultimately for me what it is a way to live out a vocational call that I have to pastoral ministry.
Well, you do it beautifully, Sarah.
Thank you.
Speaking of Father Matt, he's also with us. Father Matt Walsh is a Jesuit priest. He was ordained in 2009. He is a Michigan native, which some of our Husker fans aren't going to love too much to hear if they didn't already know. Father Matt's been our pastor for about 4 years. And our topic today is, what does it mean to be a Jesuit parish? So I think we're just going to open right with that. Father Matt, what does this mean?
Great. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here for this podcast.
Yeah.
And so what is a Jesuit parish? Well, a parish is Jesuit if doing all of the normal ministries and works of a parish, sacramental and pastoral work, that are a part of parish life. It also lives out and holds to the priorities and the way of proceeding of the Society of Jesus, which includes this living according really to the spiritual exercises, to the to discernment, and also being a parish that lives justice, is committed to doing justice for, especially for our brothers and sisters who are marginalized. So that, in a nutshell, is the short answer to what it means to be a Jesuit parish.
It also means that we are a sponsored work of the Society of Jesus. So there's a technicality to that, too. We belong to the Archdiocese, but we also belong to this province of the Society.
So forgive me for not knowing, but how does a parish become a Jesuit parish? How does this, I know it happened a very long time ago for St. John's, but tell me how that happens. And are there ever new Jesuit parishes that we see in the United States or around the world?
At present, there are, I believe there are 13 parishes in this province of the Jesuits, the USA Midwest province. And our province has a really strong commitment to parishes. And those parishes have come in to really cared for by the society in, at different times and in different ways. The parishes, for example, on the reservations in Southwest South Dakota, we've had those for quite a long time. The parishes in the Twin Cities, the parish in the Twin Cities is more recent. But essentially what it means is that the local ordinary, the local bishop, has called on, in some way, the Jesuit order to staff and tend to the sacramental, pastoral, spiritual needs of the faithful of that particular parish. And the provincial has, in conjunction with him and concurrence with the local bishop, has assigned Jesuits there. So that's a little bit of the structural element of that.
Mm-hmm. You brought up the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. That makes me want to ask both of you, what is our relationship with the Archdiocese? I think that there are sometimes questions about, we're clearly part of the diocese, and then, but what's the same for any other parish or a diocese parish, and then what's different for us?
So we are a parish of the Archdiocese. Sometimes, whether it's in our own house or in the broader community of the Archdiocese, people are not really clear on that, but we are a parish of the Archdiocese and have been so since the end of the 19th century. So shortly after the physical plant of the church was built, we became a parish of the Archdiocese. So we're part of this community. Sometimes, because we have a particular charism in the Ignatian tradition, we are a work, sponsored work of the Society of Jesus. There's a perception that maybe we're a little bit on the outside. From my perspective, that's really not the case. We share the same mission with the Archdiocese that every other parish has, which is to serve and nourish the faithful, to really move forward the work of the Universal Church. And St. John's is no different in that being our objective. What is different, I think, is our approach, the way that we go about that work. We go about that in a particularly Ignatian way. Father Matt mentioned the spiritual exercises. He mentioned discernment. Those things are not limited to people who identify with an Ignatian way of being, but they are specific gifts of the society for the church, and they really are fundamental to how we go about our business at St. John's.
Mm-hmm. I think they're an attraction as well. From my point of view, that is part of the draw, the light that pulls people towards us. And we've mentioned a couple times now on the podcast that we are a destination parish. People come from a long way. I do think those spiritual exercises and the discernment and the way of the Jesuits pull many of our parishioners to the parish. Yeah. It does make me want to ask about the examine. So we just finished the parish examine with the Jesuits. Tell me about that. I know that many of us have heard about it. You've spoken about it a lot. Is there any like insider scoop, anything cool you can tell us about the examine, how it went, what your feelings are about it these days, and what's next?
Every 5 years, each parish and really all the sponsored works of the Jesuit order are called on to really take a look at how we're doing with respect to our mission. And so this process happened for us in the spring. It included a survey of our community about how we're doing with respect to our mission. It included also conversations in the spirit around that same topic. And then there was a visit from a team of other pastoral ministers and Jesuits who were here for a weekend to see our, to experience our liturgies and have a sense of what happens. And then it's a part of our examining how we're doing vis-a-vis our mission. And it's also helpful for our provincial to know how we are doing, kind of from the grassroots, mm-hmm. from the ground. Yeah. And the result was very extremely positive.
Yeah.
We certainly have areas that we want to continue to work on and move forward, but the result is that we are still a Jesuit parish going strong. And our provincial Father Kaiser, Carl Kaiser, has encouraged us and affirmed that. And so we're very pleased with the results of that.
That's wonderful.
One of the things that I think is really cool about this institutional practice of an examen is that it is an enlarging of what we are called to do as individuals who are members of a work of the Society of Jesus, people who are invested in Ignatian spirituality, which is that examine prayer. When people think of it, they really think about, how do I examine my life? How do I pause during the day and try to notice where is the good spirit moving? Where do I need to maybe back off a little bit? Where do I need to move forward? And to ask that as an institution, I think, is a particularly Ignatian thing to do.
Indeed.
And just a really cool extrapolation of what we are called to as individuals and a reminder that we do that as community.
Yeah, you know, so much of the spirituality, the Jesuit way is to be led, right? The examen is really a prayer where you lead yourself, where you turn to a spiritual director to lead you to something, to find what's there for you. And I, you know, I think leadership is key in the entire Society of Jesus. It's so important to it. And I can't help but notice that the two of you have an interesting leadership style for the parish. I would really like to know more about how you lead together as a team, and maybe how that works as, you know, as an associate pastor has come in just this week, very exciting, but also, you know, how do the two of you think about how to lead us forward as a team?
It's a wonderful model that, you know, is about being collaborative. It's about truly modeling for the community that collaboration. And I mean, my experience, my sense of it is that in our community, it's very much welcomed, and people really have encouraged us to you know, lead in this way, to lead not just as an individual, but really as a team.
Yeah, I think it's consistent also with what the Superior General, Father Sosa, has called us to as Jesuit works, which is he's kind of flipped the narrative. We often think about being collaborators with Jesuits. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, the Jesuits are the collaborators with their lay partners in the mission. So he really kind of reframed how we think about collaboration. Now, I would say from my experience and the model that we're living into, that it really is there's a mutuality in that collaboration, that we are both sincere mutual collaborators towards the mission of the parish. So what that looks like on a practical level is that Father Matt and I really consult together when there are decisions to be made, small or large in the parish. That gives an opportunity to really talk through possibilities, to talk through both expected and possible unexpected outcomes of those decisions. I think it is in many ways a model that can take some of the pressure off of our clergy, who we have asked as a universal church to really be the sole bearers of responsibility for parishes. And if the buck stops with you, that is maybe freeing to some degree, but it can also be really tiresome and burdensome. And I think having a collaborator to really think through those things and make those decisions together provides, one, maybe more room for the movement of the Holy Spirit in unexpected ways, but also is a sharing of or a co-shouldering of the burden of leadership as well.
Yeah. I mean, does this feel like a reaction to, you know, maybe reduced numbers in the Society of Jesus and a need to continue with Jesuit works, a kind of a new way of thinking about collaboration and moving forward with the resources we have?
In some ways, yeah, I think that's what really spurs on the need for changes like this. But I don't think that's what inspires the potential for leadership like this. I think potential for leadership like this has always been in the church. And it's, I don't want to make a virtue of necessity, but we need these kinds of changes now. And those changes would be right and just even if we weren't facing a clergy shortage, because it is a perhaps way to rebalance the burden of leadership, but it also brings forward a voice that has not always been at the decision-making table, which is the voice of a layperson. And I can't speak for all lay people. I can't represent all lay people, but because I am a lay person who worships in the pews with my own household regularly, I bring a different perspective to that conversation. So I think, yes, it is spurred by that, but I think it is the right way to proceed for the church regardless.
I would just also offer kudos in a way to our own community, that whenever we do preaching in tandem, when we present in tandem or lead together, people are very encouraging, and our community wants this model.
I agree very with much. That. Mm-hmm. I think that it's inspiring in a way. It has a different feel, but a very comfortable feel. And I think in some ways that's because the two of you have done it quite beautifully, right? There's a sense of comfort around it. It just feels normal. Even if something in the back of your head says, oh, this is different, or this is not what I'm used to, it's done with a sort of level of comfort that's really nice. I do think it's a very compatible set of leadership skills the two of you are bringing in. It's lovely. So we thank you as a parish.
Thank you. And I think we hope, too, that this can be a gift to the Universal Church, that while there are particularities to Father Matt and to myself that make this particular collaboration smooth in certain ways or easy in some ways, what I think we both hope is that a model similar to this could be replicated in other places with other people. That if it's just a personality-based ease of collaboration, that's great. But if we can build a model that can be replicated in other places with other people, then that's a better, richer, and longer lasting gift.
Agreed. Correct. I love that. That's inspiring. That's very cool. That's very cool, both of you. And to anyone in the future who wants to try. All right. That was kind of deep. I have some questions from the parish.
Great.
One of the questions we got was just, what does it look like day to day for the two of you? I mean, so many of our parishioners, right, come on the weekend. We see you maybe on a weeknight, but the day to day operation seems maybe a little bit separate from us. And so I'd like to know, what does your day look like? What are you doing?
We know about our Sunday mornings.
We do.
Because that's when you see us.
And your Saturday nights.
And our Saturday nights. But maybe, Father Matt, if you would tell us, what did you do this afternoon? This is Sunday afternoon. So after everybody has left the parish, Maybe we can just start with there, because our work week begins on Sunday. Well, begins on Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Well, we actually, Sarah and I received some calls about a parishioner who passed away. Uh-huh. And so we're doing the work that needs to be done for that. And also, you know, in a prayerful way, assuring the family of our support and encouragement for them. And then in between that, I also went over to a medical facility where people are struggling with acute mental health challenges in their lives, and was just able, I really feel sent by the St. John's community to go and bring the gospel and the Eucharist to those that are in real need of that. And as I mentioned in my remarks this morning, I get so much out of that myself. That's really an important moment for me to really be present, to observe, to listen, to think about how the Lord touches our lives and healing and all those kinds of things that need to happen. The rest of the week is given over to, you know, there's a fair bit of administrative work. A lot of emails, like everyone else these days. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of meetings and people that will reach out for lots of different things, I think, to both of us and others on the staff and others in the community. Thankfully, there is time and opportunity for visiting with parishioners, especially those who can't come in person. And that's a real consoling part of my work, is really to let them know of our love and support for them, even if they can't make it to our Eucharistic gatherings on Saturdays and Sundays. Then there's weddings and baptisms and funerals and other sacramental needs that arise. And with all of that, I also try to be present in my community, mm-hmm. the Jesuit community there. We have a large community, and it's really very encouraging, inspiring for me to connect with my confreres in the community.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's your home.
Yep.
I will say, I personally, right, I'm familiar with the work you do with the mentally ill, as someone close to me was in that facility for a while. And it was a great shock to take him dinner on a Sunday evening. And he said, "I saw Father Matt Walsh today." I said, "My Father Matt?" I didn't know you were doing that, but it was such a huge moment. The two of us connected. I said, that's my Father Matt. And yeah, he still speaks of you a little bit. So I think, you know, it's a really wonderful thing you do. Sarah, what's your day to day like?
So today, after everyone left, again, Father Matt and I connected about this upcoming funeral and communicated with family. And then I went out to do a visit to one of our parishioners who has trouble getting out and getting to mm-hmm. the parish, a communion visit. So we got to just sit down and visit and share Eucharist and have a lovely conversation. That's one of the really beautiful parts of my week, is getting to do that kind of ministry. And sometimes I do that during the week as well, but Sunday afternoons are a really lovely time for that. There are some weeks on a Sunday afternoon where I meet with our racial justice learning group on Zoom, where we might have other groups or meetings that are popping up here and there. But most typically, it's those pastoral visits and care. So Monday is Father Matt's day off. So this is a pronouncement, proclamation to the world. Try to not schedule a meeting with Father Matt on a Monday.
Because leave him alone on Monday.
The man needs a
Give
day off.
Give the man a break.
So on Monday morning, I usually get in. I tend to get in kind of late morning. I'm often there into the early evening. And a lot of email. There's a lot of email. Monday is my email day. Sometimes there are other meetings that pop up, but that's really my communication day. Fielding voicemails, getting back to people. One of the things I've had on my plate recently is working with scheduling our baptisms. And my heavens, there are a rich abundance of people who are bringing their little ones into the church through baptism. And that is great and beautiful. And it also takes some administrative work.
Some work.
So getting those sorts of things sorted out. On Tuesday, so my day off is Friday, so Father Matt and I work together during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we always start on Tuesday morning with just a shared meeting to look at what's going on in the parish, what needs our attention, are there decisions that are going to need to be made, who are people we're concerned about, we want to check in and make sure we're providing good pastoral care, those sorts of things. So that's a Tuesday morning. Tuesday afternoon, we have our staff meeting to make sure that everybody's on the same page about what is actually happening. And there's a lot happening, especially for the size of parish we have. There's a lot happening at St. John's. So that staff meeting is really critical to make sure everybody knows what's going on. We often have evening meetings. So the second Tuesday of the month is our leadership night with our commissions. The fourth Wednesday of the month is our finance committee meeting. We have other meetings sprinkled in there that vary in their regularity. So meetings, emails, communications, visits.
I would just throw in, too, that on Wednesdays, one of us, Sarah and myself, will attend the leadership meeting for the historic 24th Street family of parishes. And that's a good opportunity to connect and hear what's going on and make sure that our communications are going back and forth between the parishes of St. Benedict the Moor, Sacred Heart, and St. John's.
Yeah.
And that's a really rich time as well for having a sense of our parish, but also the Catholic community, the larger Catholic community, especially on the near north side here.
Right, on the 24th. We should, that sounds like a topic for a whole podcast. We should do an entire episode on the 24th Street family of parishes, which is some excellent work that's happening within the parish. Very exciting.
Now, I will add that once in a while, there are like oddball things that happen during the week. So, for example, Creighton Hall is under construction, and there was one day when a student who was helping clear things out called and asked to speak to our liturgist because he saw some religious articles that he thought the parish might want. So a few of us went up to the attic of Creighton Hall and under the dust and the bat guano and the whatever is up there, got to look through various things and say, maybe this is worth saving. Maybe
was there some good stuff there?
There were some things up there.
Very exciting.
That we may see come to light in various forms. So it was fun, but like that's a quirky afternoon.
That does sound fun. Actually, that sounds like my jam. I'd love to go to see what's in the deepest recesses of Creighton Hall.
Yes. We also do a lot of meetings like with people who want to come into the church, people who want to seek sacraments of initiation.
Sure.
I spend probably 3 or 4 hours a week just responding to those inquiries and meeting with people.
Wow,
and
3 or 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot
news.
Of interest and
a lot
inquiry.
Of work, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, back to the religious articles, if you want to see something. I believe that the pencil sketch was that amongst the things. So in the East Sacristy at St. John's, if you come in and look up above the shelves behind the door, you'll see a beautiful pencil sketch of St. John Berkmans, who is a Jesuit, the patron saint of youth, I believe. No, he's the patron saint of scholastics. But it was really, they were going to throw it away.
Oh.
It was all kind of covered over, and they were able to clean it up and kind of restore it, and there
is
it is. It's beautiful.
It's not. Is it on paper or
yeah.
is it? Oh wow!
Yep.
That's
beautiful
amazing that it. Yeah. And do you know? Do we know who did the sketch? Is it signed? No. Hmm. Wow.
But we
That's
can give
cool.
credit to our liturgist Chase, who spotted it and who found a way to get it cleaned and back up to
that's amazing.
Usable
yeah.
conditions. So he has a great eye for things like that.
There we go. That's the insider scoop we were looking for. That's fun. That's very fun. All right. Well, I really do appreciate your time. I have just one more question. We ask all our guests. You're our first guest, but we will ask all our guests. Tell us something we don't know about you. Try to make it a surprise. Something we don't know about you.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this will be a surprise to everyone or not, but one thing that I really love is good wine. So my husband and I have been to France a couple of times, and we have spent some time in Bordeaux, and we just went back this year and found a winery that we fell in love with in 2016, a tiny little family-run winery. And it was even better than we remembered. So we are, I would not call myself a connoisseur, but I am an appreciator. We met in Northern California and had access to Napa Valley and Russian River and all those beautiful places. So something people may not know is my love of wine.
I did not know that. So there we go.
Let me also say, I will drink cheap wine as well, but I will really appreciate good wine.
That's good. That's a good life hack, right?
You can
drink any of it, but know what's good. Yeah.
It's the candide approach. The best of all possible wine is the wine that you're drinking.
That's a good one.
Let me think here.
Making it tough on you, Matt. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's see.
His life is an open book.
No, I better not say that. That wouldn't be good.
That goes in the outtakes.
Well, I'll give you a bit of my history.
Okay.
That I reflect on. Long ago, I was an intern for a member of Congress, and a summer internship when I was in college, and I got to meet the then president of the United States, Bill Clinton.
Oh.
Really? So I was invited to while I was walking around, and the director or the producer of a morning news show was on the National Mall, and she had her clipboard and was taking names, and I was there with some of my intern buddies before our work started, and she said, "What are you doing on Thursday morning?" And I said, "Well, we got to start work." She said, "Well, how would you like to be in the Rose Garden with the president for a meeting, for a town hall meeting?" And I said, "Well, we have to work. We have to go to work." And they said, "Matt," the other guy said, "Matt, shut up. We're going to the Rose Garden." So we went to the Rose Garden, and there I was on national TV with the president, then president of the United States, and I got to shake his hand, and it was fun.
That
was a memorable moment.
That is a surprise, and also that was a good one. That was a good one. The most famous person you met, probably. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I can't keep you any longer. It's clear how busy you are. Thank you so much for your time and for coming to join us in our inaugural St. John's Pod. And we'll talk to you again soon, I think. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Beth. And thanks for your work on this. This will be, I think, a great gift to the parish. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. We're looking forward to the next one as well, whatever it will be. That's exciting.
Liturgy. It'll be liturgy.
Okay.
So liturgical prayer next time.
Fantastic.
Cool. Thank you. In our next episode, we're going to look into the liturgy. I'll bring in an expert to help us more fully understand liturgical prayer. Deepest thanks to our producer, Joe Vasa, and the Faith Formation Commission. Thank you to Matt and Sarah. And of course, thanks to all of you and the St. John's Parish family. I will end every episode with the Father Michael Judge prayer. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say, and keep me out of your way.